Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. I hope you are doing so well. It's another week, another opportunity to examine the claimed benefits of smartphones for kids, as defined by Peter Gray on his Substack, Play Makes Us Human. Today, we are looking at his benefit that he states of developing digital skills with a smartphone. Let's jump right in and hear how Peter Gray describes this benefit. He says, quote, "Children throughout the world and throughout human history have always been drawn to the most prominent tools of their culture. As the philosopher Karl Grus pointed more than a century ago in his book, The Play of Man, children come into the world biologically predisposed to attend to and play with the tools and skills most important in the world in which they are growing. They play with these tools not just to use them for immediate instrumental purposes, but also to become skilled at using them. Thus, children in hunter-gatherer cultures played with bows and arrows and digging sticks and fire. Children in farming culture play with farming equipment. Children in the mechanical age played with mechanical devices. In our culture, the digital computer is obviously the most prominent tool of our time, so no wonder children are drawn to it," end quote. Okay, so let me just summarize his statement. His claim is that kids are drawn to the most prominent tool of the culture they grow up in order how to essentially learn to survive. Therefore, smartphones and digital play are what will build the essential skills for modern life. Okay, let's affirm what is true about this claim. Children do imitate adults and practice real-world competence through play. This is why we see girls play with baby dolls, for example. They see their mothers nurturing babies, loving on babies. And this is because God also created them biologically, predisposed them to be mothers and to be nurturing. We see boys often play more rough. They'll play with Nerf guns because they also are biologically created by God to protect and defend. And this is just in general why we see kids play with toy kitchens and toy lawnmowers, and they drive little toy jeeps. Children are imitating the skills and tasks of adults of what they see through play. And all of scripture, you know, rests on the truth of Genesis, that humans were created to cultivate and steward the world that God created us to live in. That's Genesis 2:15. And we see throughout the early scriptures, early on, that children are trained through daily life, watching and learning from their parents and from the other adults around them. So yes, it makes sense that children are drawn to the prominent tools that they see adults using. And this isn't a threat at all to Christian discipleship or Christian parenting, because in the right context and use, it is healthy and good stewardship to use what God allows in His common grace for our age and time. Peter Gray, though, is not talking about just any tools in general. He's specifically talking about digital tools. And as adults, we all likely engage and interact with digital tools every day, right? So it does make sense that kids would want to imitate the behavior that they see in us. But the biblical question here isn't whether digital tools are important. The question is, what kind of tool is a smartphone? And what kind of skill does that smartphone develop? And how does the smartphone train the heart? In other words, we're asking, is this a benefit at all? And is it biblical? All right, so here's where we're going to go today, sort of roadmap. We're going to talk about how and what the smartphone trains, just by objectively considering how the smartphone is used most commonly in modern families. We're going to look at what digital skills actually are and compared to how the smartphone is being used. And then we're going to talk a little bit about ed tech, because that is big in this actual area of thinking about digital skills. And then finally, we're going to look at scripture and give a little short biblical theology of what skill is according to scripture. All right, so let's go back and talk about this idea of kids' imitation play, right? When kids are small and, you know, toddlers, preschool aged, right? Play is much more about imitation than skill building. But as they get older, they hone those skills. So the little girl who once played with dolls has grown up and now she can babysit younger children. And kids who maybe played with toy kitchens, now they're learning how to cook and prepare their own meals. They can mow the lawn with a real lawnmower. They're learning to drive a real car. All that they had once imitated grows with time and skills are developed. Now, I do think it is fair to say that the digital computer is the most prominent tool of our time. And yes, a smartphone is really just a handheld digital computer. So children are drawn to this tool. Now, why? Partly, I think it's because, well, they see the power that it has, right? It can communicate with others. You can play music, you can play movies, you can tap to pay for services, you can access the internet, right? Tons of actual tools in one device. But the other reason I think they're drawn to it, and I'm going to argue is probably the greatest reason, is because they just see the love, the time, and the attention that adults around them, especially their parents, give to the smartphone. They're attracted to it because they see it as a beloved and precious to those who are closest to them. Now, I'm contending that this is more of the reason because for a child, it's not easy to see the tool-like functions being performed, right? We know that the smartphone does so many things, but from this young age, a child only sees the time adults spend on it. They can't tell if that time is spent paying bills, ordering groceries, playing Candy Crush, or scrolling TikTok, right? So their imitation, their imitation type of play is only time spent staring at this glowing screen. It's not the mimicking of a prominent tool. It's kind of like this. If a toddler carried around a toy hammer everywhere, but only just stared at the hammer because, well, that's what they saw their parent do, this isn't the honing of a skill of hammering or developing competence in building, right? The child is only imitating attachment. Now, depending on the parents, the first functionality a child engages with a smartphone is usually either FaceTime or watching videos, right? And I think these often occur for many babies within the first few months of life. And when they experience a smartphone in order to like watch a video or a cartoon, their initial understanding will naturally be that this is an entertainment tool. And then later when they're allowed to play games, you know, possibly, you know, educational type of game, teaching them ABCs or colors, well, this too is entertainment to them. And the entertainment functionality on a smartphone is not neutral. YouTube, Netflix, or any other video streaming app, they all use persuasive and personalized design features to keep users watching. Similarly, video games or educational games use these same design features to maximize user engagement. So in their first years interacting with this quote-unquote prominent tool of our time, young users are not building skills because the user experience is focused on content consumption. Behaviors are shaped, brain pathways are formed, and affections of the heart and desires are stirred up. It's very hard to argue that digital skills necessary for their future have at all been learned. What's really been learned is a sort of digital devotion. And just if we can stand back as parents and just objectively consider what kind of tool the smartphone is and how it trains users, we can see that the smartphones are, quote, smart, meaning, right, they're effortless, they're frictionless, right? The user does not have to think deeply or be highly intelligent or skilled to use a smartphone, right? Swiping and tapping is not a skill. Swiping and tapping can be learned through tactile toys, right? Children don't need to learn that through a smartphone. That's not a digital skill. So then let's actually define what is digital skills. So now Peter Gray doesn't necessarily give a specific definition. So I'll offer one that states that digital skills are practical competencies for using digital devices in order to communicate, create, learn, and work. Now, also, the term skill refers to more than just the labor of that task. It also reflects the virtues and ethics that is embedded in those competencies. So in other words, if it is a skill, we can assume that the user has a sense of mastery. The user's skill enables them to use the tool without the tool using them. Therefore, a digital skill that must involve self-control, wisdom, and discernment. Digital skills then are not. They are not scrolling. It's not posting, liking, maintaining streaks, chasing trends, leveling up in a game, or using AI for homework, or hacking parental controls, right? To just name a few. What we can consider digital skills is internet literacy, like true internet literacy, knowing how to find, use, and cite reputable sources of information. It's also communication, right? Having clear and effective writing. It's productivity that we do, such as from managing files, writing documents, spreadsheets. It's also maintaining security and privacy, right? Whether that be password management, recognizing phishing attempts, setting permissions. And of course, it's creation as well. It's writing, it's designing, coding, media editing. And I think it's even AI literacy, whether you're recognizing false, fake, or fabricated images and writing, or even using it as an occasional tool, but of course, never as a friend, right? These are the real type of digital skills that adults are using computers for, and sometimes a smartphone for. But none of these requires a smartphone in a child's pocket. All of these skills, everything that we just talked about, requires training. It requires someone coming alongside of you and teaching you how to do this. This is not skills that come just inherently with just using a smartphone. Right? They require wisdom. They require discernment. They require self-control, because that same smartphone that could potentially do all of these skill-based tasks, it also has TikTok. It also has Roblox, which we know trains desires. It trains the affections of their heart. Now, for a second, I want to go back and kind of counter Peter Gray's reasoning that he gave in his developing digital skills reasoning, because his reconciliation of this benefit, it was kind of odd. If you notice, he really went kind of back into history and quoted a philosopher. But he says that over the course of human history, children have sought out and become skilled with these prominent tools of the age. So he gives the example of hunter-gatherer children playing with bows and arrows, sticks and fire. Well, let's consider how those tools, if you call them tools, right, were actually used and what they were used for. Right? Bows and arrows were used to kill food, and sticks and fire were used to cook their food and to stay warm. So if children were using these or play versions of those, right, they were imitating the adults using tools meant for provision and preservation. Right? That was how they ate and stayed alive. So if we look at that in 21st century terms, I mean, the equivalent tools of how we preserve and, you know, gain provisions, I would say, you know, it was like a grocery store playset, maybe a toy grocery cart, plastic food. It's the toy kitchens where they pretend how to cook. But the only way that a smartphone mimics this type of provisional tool is maybe if, you know, the child sees the parent ordering DoorDash or Uber Eats, maybe even ordering groceries for like a curbside pickup. But that doesn't take digital skills, right? It doesn't take a great level of knowledge and skill to navigate DoorDash or a grocery store app. And I think you can apply the same type of logic to his other examples of farming culture or mechanical age, right? But now we're in the digital age. And here's the deal, is the digital computer, right? It may be the prominent tool of the age, but the smartphone is not a toy. It's not a toy tool that trains skills. Even if you were to give a plastic smartphone looking device that had educational things, it's still not training skills, right? Childhood play mimicking adult smartphone use really through entertainment is never going to build a digital skill. As we witness, I mean, over the last decade, and you probably already know from your own experience, the smartphone is a temptation device. It trains desires. It influences and causes like just a level of indulgence that's not healthy. It's not the same as building skills because the smartphone has persuasive user experience, right? Within the phone, each app has a portal to another world with push notifications, badges, streaks, infinite scrolls, constant communication, and algorithms. Are there any skills that can be acquired? Well, yeah, there are, even with all of that, right? And some kids may actually develop some skills despite all of this persuasive design. But most often, skill acquirement is overtaken by content consumption. And the reason why is because that's the goal of big tech. They don't want you to learn skills. They want you to stay engaged. They want maximum engagement. They want constant consumption. If their goal was for us as a society to gain digital skills, we'd have a very different society almost 20 years into smartphones. So the biggest concern we have, of course, is that children may never see that the smartphone or the computer is a tool, but they're going to continually see it as a vehicle for entertainment and for constant content consumption because that is how they learned it from the earliest of ages. Now, this idea of developing digital skills overlaps into the educational sphere because most parents, and it's 80% according to the U.S. Department of Education, most parents believe that it is the school's responsibility to teach children digital skills needed for future success. So I want to talk about EdTech. I want to talk about why this idea of early exposure, of kind of inoculating our kids with technology does not equal digital competence. The key that seems to have been forgotten is that digital skills for the future, it requires fundamental learning skills, right? Digital skills are not about learning one specific skill. It's learning how to learn so that you can adapt to every new skill that is needed as technology advances. Because what you teach your child now, if they are, say, in second grade, by the time they graduate high school in 10 years, whatever they learn today is going to be obsolete. And yes, you could argue that some digital skills build on each other, but the other reality is it's not that hard to learn. An 18-year-old graduating high school could equally learn the digital skills needed. But with the trajectory that some schools are on, kids are not going to be able to have the fundamental learning skills because they're no longer learning how to learn. So Jared Cooney Horvath and his new book, which I recommended back in the education episode, it's called The Digital Delusion, How Classroom Technology Harms Our Kids' Learning and How to Help Them Thrive Again. He directly counters this notion that kids need digital skills to be competitive because otherwise, how on earth will they ever get a job? So he believes that chasing the digital skills is the wrong goal, to which I agree with him. He says, quote, the best preparation for a volatile, rapidly changing workforce isn't tool-specific training. It's a broad, general education. Now, there's a ton of cited research in his book that you can get and look up. But essentially, he explains that today's teenagers who have been raised on digital devices and surrounded by screens throughout the school day for most of their life, they are performing worse on basic digital problem-solving tasks than students did a decade ago. Therefore, the more K through 12s push technology, the less digitally competent students become, is what he argues. And the reason the schools are pushing for more tech is this whole idea that, well, we're responsible, right, for teaching digital skills. And I think it's also because they're getting some government money, but that's neither here nor there. But they are trying to achieve these digital skills by teaching every subject through a computer or an iPad rather than having a dedicated class for digital skills, or what we would have called back in our day, just computer class. You know, there's this also this preposterous myth that children who are born with access to technology from birth, what they call these digital natives, that they somehow learn differently, that humanity and the human brain has changed now that we are in a digital age and they now learn differently. Well, Horvath says that, quote, more than two decades of research show that young people don't use technology more effectively. They don't understand it more deeply and don't possess any unique digital literacy compared to adults. Now, that truth may seem really obvious when I say it, you know, but the lies from big tech, from ed tech, it blurs that for so many people. But we have to recognize that no app, no platform, no social media trend has ever changed or will ever change how the brain learns, how it encodes and consolidates and transforms information into knowledge. And we can add to Horvath's statement there that the Holy Spirit then comes and turns that knowledge into wisdom. This is how we learn and grow according to Scripture. Well, humorously, the digital delusion also makes this point that to claim that, quote, technology is just a tool is really just a last-ditch attempt to shut down any debate and make critics seem unreasonable. And I think this is precisely what Peter Gray's argument for learning digital tools as a benefit for kids having smartphones does. It tries to make anyone who is critical of smartphones for kids deny that childhood play is a way of learning. Well, who, of course, is going to deny that children play to learn and learn to play? Of course they do, right? The point is that being surrounded by digital devices as a child, even if they are the most quote unquote prominent tool used by adults, is not the same as being skilled or developing skills. Now, with all that said, let's consider Peter Gray's claim from a biblical worldview and Scripture itself. As we've stated so many times, smartphones are not neutral. They have persuasive and personalized design that trains the heart way more than it trains skills. And in Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7, we see that parents are directly called to train their children's hearts, right? So smartphones are not to train the heart, parents are. It says in Deuteronomy 6, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Parents are impressing the love of God, the commandments of God on their children's hearts. Their hearts are not to be discipled and trained by persuasive and personalized design from companies that have selfish goals and intentions. And training isn't just about skills, right? As we talked about, training is also about spiritual discipline. It's about character development, learning how to possess that self-control, prudence, patience, and wisdom that is needed to be able to use a tool and to have mastery over it. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, this isn't saying that training kids is about building skills that is going to ebb and flow with changing technology. What it's saying when you're, quote, training up a child the way they should go, it's referring to the foundational character and faith that you are training a child in, right? That's what doesn't leave them as they grow up. Skills will come and go in life. You can probably think of something that you were able to do as a teenager that you can't do right now, right? Skills come and go. Let's look at Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1. I want to give you an idea of what this training looks like from parents and how when you're doing this with a smartphone, the discipleship just looks totally different. So this is King Solomon writing, and he says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Okay, that's Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 8. And this is discipleship. And where does he say that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom come from? Does it come from the prominent tools of the time? No, it comes from the Lord. And what are we to seek out as though it's silver, like we're searching for a hidden treasure? Is it skills? No, it's wisdom. It's insight and understanding. Like scripture teaches us that skills and talent and craftsmanship, we can get those. Those are divine gifts intended to be developed and used for God's glory and the benefit of others, right? And they are honed and perfected through wisdom. So what we need first is the wisdom, insight, and understanding that comes from the Lord, that comes from scripture. Discipling is teaching children not to pursue the latest skill that's, quote, prominent in this world, but to seek wisdom, which can then be applied to everything else done in life. Let's look at another example from scripture in Exodus. As the Lord is instructing Moses on the construction of the tabernacle, in Exodus 35:10, he says, "Let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded." And in verse 26, it says, "All the women whose heart stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair." And then verse 30, Moses says to the sons of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship, so as to perform in every inventive work. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer." See that God divinely gives skill. We see this over and over again in scripture. David, the shepherd boy, is given the skill of a warrior. Peter, the common fisherman, is given the skill of an evangelist and orator in Acts 4. And throughout, I mean, honestly, the past 21st centuries, we see this, you know, both biblically and in the secular world. The Second Temple of Israel and all that Herod built at the time of Jesus, right? That was amazing, divinely given skill. Or think about the Sistine Chapel. Beautiful, right? I once saw a meme that had a picture of the Sistine Chapel and the caption read, "This was all built by men without college degrees." Well, how, of course, did they build the Sistine Chapel all those centuries ago? God divinely chose men to be given tremendous skill. I dare say you could include Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg, right? These are men who have and had extraordinary skill and talent, which God used them to bring about this digital age, right? None of this is accidental or mere human achievement, right? This is how God sovereignly and providentially directs all of creation. Romans 11:36 says that for from him and through him and to him are all things. From Bezalel to King David, from Peter the Apostle to Martin Luther and the Reformation, from Albert Einstein to Steve Jobs, all things are from him, through him, and to him. Divinely gives these skills. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." Right? Even though God divinely gives skills, scripture consistently urges us to apply wisdom and diligent work to everything we do, as that also builds skills, right? It's not just that we're sitting around waiting for God to divinely give us a great skill. We also have to do the work. Hard work should always be aimed at glorifying God rather than pleasing man or being driven by some sort of selfish ambition. I mean, the parable of the talents urges us to put our, quote, skills and talents and resources all to good use for the glory of God. That's Matthew 25, 14 through 30. So to summarize all of this, right, the smartphone, yes, it is a prominent tool of the digital age, but its design is not neutral and its intent is not for skills training. Digital skills are important, but they must be honed and trained once a broad scope of learning is achieved, right? And that character and virtue has been developed. And the digital device is seen as a tool and not a toy for entertainment or a portal to escape or a shortcut for learning and hard work. There is a time for that skill development, but it's not during childhood. And I get it. It's hard to believe this. It's hard to believe that biblical discipleship is the first and foremost priority of raising a competent child in a world where toddler piano lessons and kindergarten soccer club and SAT prep in like the fourth grade are all considered normal, right? In a culture where efficiency and optimization feel like the most pressing needs and skills, it can feel counterintuitive to go back to biblical discipleship, to go back to letting children be children, to let them play with dolls until they're a little bit older than what the culture says is normal, to let them play with Legos, you know, all throughout adolescence, right? But childhood does not need to be more efficient or optimized by digital skills. There is a time and a place for everything, and we are not raising machines. You cannot force a child to get to mature adulthood any faster or more efficient by applying digital skills, by optimizing them with smartphones and computers. I truly believe, and my husband, who teaches high school math and computer science and robotics, you know, he is right here with me, that it is going to be the kids who have delayed access to digital devices. You know, the kids who have been given the opportunity to develop these broad learning skills, those are the ones who will be able to competently and ethically develop the digital skills that is going to be needed to lead the next generation. Everyone who has grown up swiping, scrolling, playing to the next level all throughout their childhood, they will not be able to do this because that's not digital skills. They have not learned how to learn. Their character and their heart has been shaped by the device. Now, I've sort of alluded to what you can do instead of hoping that all those video games habits turn into digital skills. But let me just tell you again, it is delay, delay, delay. Role model, role model, role model. Truly, right? The digital skills your child witnesses you exerting with your smartphone will shape them. What they see you do on that phone is influencing them, maybe even more than what you're saying to them. Likewise, the entertainment that they witness you engaging in with your smartphone shapes them. All of it shapes them. So here are three concrete steps that you can apply in your home. Number one, teaching digital skills like those we listed can be done on a family computer in a public space of the home. You want to teach them how to write on a Word document or learn how to type, write an Excel spreadsheet, manage files. Great. Do that on a family computer in a public space of the home. Number two, upholding digital boundaries is a skill. Therefore, hold fast to your stated rules for the home, such as no personal handheld entertainment. Your entertainment should be shared entertainment on a television. We don't want to encourage isolated time on a screen during childhood. And number three, modeling digital skills by maintaining phone-free dinners, phone-free family outings, phone-free, you know, bedtimes, like all of that. Model those digital skills. You have to do it too. You can't just require your kids to do it. Okay. And like always, I want to leave you with just some questions that you can mull over, wrestle with as you contemplate whether or not, you know, is digital skills really a beneficial reason for allowing your child to have a smartphone? So here are some questions. Number one, when my child speaks about needing a smartphone to be on par with everyone else, do they really mean digital skills and competence, such as creating, writing, or researching? Or do they mean social access and entertainment? Number two, am I believing that early exposure will lead to mastery, or that early repeated exposure will make my child immune to any risks? Number three, have I worked to establish true digital skills at home on a computer first? Okay, and if your child already has a phone, consider these questions. Number four, do I have my child use a smartphone because of my own fears that they will fall behind or be outcasts among other tech-savvy kids? Number five, what true digital skills has my child developed since getting their own smartphone? And number six, are my child's smartphone habits moving towards wisdom or toward constant consumption? Okay, those are good questions to be thinking about this week. We have one more episode of Peter Gray's claimed benefits of kids owning smartphones, and that is the benefit of being trusted. So we will wrap up this 10-part series next week talking about whether or not being trusted is a significant benefit for kids owning smartphones. You won't want to miss it. Thank you so much for hanging in there and joining me today. Until next week, go and be brave.